gone. Beautiful morning, you might think, for going out and setting off some fireworks. Well, it's time to light the blue touch paper and stand well back. Time for the Sunday roast, and this week's offering likely to be particularly explosive, you might think, as we serve up the big Catherine wheel in the firework trade locally, Shea Poppet. Bonfire night's come and gone. There's still a few bangs in the trees, again with tragic consequence over in some places, but it does go on, and for weeks before November the 5th and since, the night's been resounding to what might be called a pyrotechnic percussion, frightening little children and petrifying pets and some older people too. Some people think the sale of fireworks should be banned altogether, particularly with the import of some more powerful and potentially more dangerous brands from China and elsewhere. Is it, do you think, time to forget the 5th of November and consign Guy Fawkes and the whole dastardly gunpowder plot back to the history books and the national curriculum and all that? Well, the guy on the Sunday roast today is Shea Poppet. He's from the Chinese firework company in the Wicker in Sheffield. You should retreat to a safe distance. I've got the matches. It should be a cracker. Shay, good morning.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Start by telling us about your name. Shay is unusual.
Yes, it's an Indian name. My full Christian name is Shaylin. My friends used to call me, or still do, Shay, because it's short and easy. It's easy to pronounce.
Where did your family come from?
Originally, we're from Uganda, East Africa. We left in 1966, and we've been in Sheffield ever since.
How old are you?
I'm 32 years old.
So you actually were there for a short time?
3 years, yes, 3 years. I was 3 years old when we left.
Do you remember anything about it?
Just the whizzes and bangs.
Really?
Yeah.
Because there was what, some kind of civil
well,
war?
No. It's my father used to sell fireworks as well. He was in business. And I remember very little of it. As you know, as I've mentioned, I was 3 years old.
Ugandan Asians, you were expelled, is that it?
No, we were fortunate. Through the political situation in East Africa, my father thought it would be a better future for his children. And we were fortunate. We left before Idi Amin expelled all the British citizens out of Uganda. So you could say we were one of the fortunate ones that the little money that we did have, we managed to bring into the UK.
Have you ever been back there?
Not to Uganda, no.
What do you feel about Uganda and the business of having left the country of your birth?
Well, as you know, I was very little. I can't remember much. So, I have very little to really comment on the business side of aspects of business in Uganda.
Have you felt you'd wanted to go back at any time?
No. I've been brought up here. All my friends British. I'm a British citizen. I know very, little any difference.
What sort of family was it, Shane? What sort of family did you come from?
We're a very close family. As being an Indian family, there's a lot of unity in the business. I always remember when I used to be at school, my friends used to mention to me, well, your father makes you work on your Saturdays, your days off, ask you to wash your car, he never pays you. So I turned around and asked my father, I said, Dad, you know, I wash your car, why don't you pay me? And he mentioned, Shaylin, you know, there's nothing mine and yours, it's all ours. And it was very difficult for me to appreciate that then. And he said, you know, if you're working in the shop, you want to take £5 out of till, I don't mind, it's it's you that will suffer in the end. This is for us, you know, we've had our future and we're trying to give, you know, our children a better future.
How big was your family?
Well, there's just my sister and myself. My sister, she, from an early age, went to Leicester to study. So, really, there's just myself.
Are you the younger one?
Yes, I am. There's just myself, my mother, my father, and my aunt, who lives with us.
You came over when you were three. You don't actually remember. Do you remember arriving in England? Was that interesting enough to remember for the rest of your life?
At 3 years old,
well,
Ronnie?
Some people do go back further than that, don't they?
Do they? Mm. No, I have very short memory, I have. Very short.
So you can't remember arriving on the Wicker or whatever it was?
No. The Wicker, it was, a good few years thereafter. We came to the Wicker.
You came at the age of three with your mum, dad, auntie and sister.
Yes.
To Sheffield.
Yes, that's correct.
Why Sheffield?
Well, my father's brother was situated in Sheffield, so he was staying at the Regent Court Flats, Hillsborough, and that's where we moved and stayed there for a good few years.
Was he in business as well?
No, he was a medical assistant to one of the hospitals, and he was in Sheffield for many years and then had the country life in him and moved out to various places, part of the country.
When your father brought the family over, did he intend to open a business here, a shop?
Eventually, yes, Ronnie. Eventually he did, because he had the business nature in himself. He was 28 when he came, we all came to the UK, and at 16 he had his own business up until 28 years of age. He even used to do the fireworks side, import fireworks there, and when there weren't any legislations. So he had a good 12 years in the experience of selling fireworks and in business too.
What are your first memories, if they don't go back to three or so? When do they go back to?
They probably go back to when I started school. I went to a Catholic school. I really enjoyed my school days. I had a lot of friends. I was a very popular student at school. I participated in a lot of sporting events. We had a lot to do with the youth club. So my social aspect was quite good and very popular.
A Catholic primary school?
Yes.
Which one was that?
That was St. Joseph's at Walkley.
Is that because you were a Catholic?
No. It was the nearest school.
What is your family in terms
of Hindu. We're Indian, Hindu. But again, there's good and bad things about all religion. We have faith. But I believe, you know, your own destiny yourself.
How did all that kind of Hindu and Catholic work for you at that school?
Well, again, I was very, very... It was an infant school. I was very, very young, so I didn't really appreciate too much about the religion, aspects of religion, the good and bad points. But I was vegetarian as well, to a certain point. And I really didn't... I used to miss out on the communion when we used to go to church, but I was well accepted at
school.
Were
you the only black or Asian kid in the school?
I think I was, yes, because we've been... like I said, we left 1966, so there was a very small minority of Asian community in Sheffield then.
How did you find that?
I've never had any problems in my life at all. I've been well accepted, especially when I moved on to the comprehensive school. Again, I mentioned, you know, I participated in a lot of sporting events, and I've always been well accepted in the community.
Were you any good at school, at the junior school? Were you a good lad, or...?
Mischievous, not a bright spark at all. But I, since joining the business... the experience that it gave me being in business, I believe that was the best kind of experience than...
Why weren't you a bright spark? Was there a language problem? What language did your family speak?
We spoke English.
English was the first language?
That's right. In fact, when I was three, I knew my mother language fluently. I knew which was Gujarati. I knew Swahili fluently. I was speaking English. And then at the age of five or six, I forgot my mother languages and just spoke English fluently.
Mm. Well, have they gone forever? Do you not use them at all now, then?
Well, the family, you know, speak the mother language as well as English, but I can understand it fluently, but through lack of practice, speak very little of it.
You said you weren't a bright spark at school, so out for a fireworks man, isn't it? So what were... was it the English you couldn't cope with, or the sums, or what?
Well, I think it was the influence of friends we were with, the lack of interest in academic studies. I wanted to be out playing sports, the more social side of things, rather than putting a pen to paper.
And is this true at the junior school, primary school level?
Yes, you could say that.
Oh, dear. So you then went on to the comprehensive. You went to Silverdale.
That is correct.
How was it there?
Enjoyed it thoroughly. Again, like I mentioned to you, that, you know, I was a very popular pupil. We got on with the staff, the teachers, the other students. I was well accepted in the community, and we had a good circle of friends, and we really, really enjoyed it. And there was a lot of youth club element. I used to be the chairman of a youth club there, which was one of the most popular youth clubs in Sheffield. So there were ages from 16 to 30 years old.
Were you elected to that job?
Yes, I was. Again, I played a lot of table tennis. I reached a very good standard at the age of 13. From there onwards, you know, I represented the national youth, the Sheffield Youth in the national competition in table tennis. So I got to meet a lot of people and a lot of elderly people there who we used to then associate later when we were old enough to go to the pubs and clubs.
What did you then do? How long before you left school? You were at 16.
I stayed on for a future year, tried to improve on my studies.
Oh, so you didn't do too well at the GCSEs?
No, I didn't. I remember one teacher used to say to me. You'll never be a rich man. You'll be very poor. If you don't work hard with the academic studies, and I think I've proved her wrong.
You've become very rich and very successful. Richer, you think, than a school teacher at Silverdale.
rich in friends, rich in health.
Tell us about the exams you took. I mean, did you flunk them all? Did you get poor grades?
Very poor grades. Mm. A U for unclassified for English. I could add figures, and that was I did get an O level in maths, but everything else it was just lack of interest.
What did your parents think about this lack of success?
Well, I used to hide the yearly reports from them. They, as every parent, wants their child to be successful. A brain surgeon, a doctor, or, I just said to my parents... I just said to my parents, I'm not really made for...
Did they say to you, I'm interrupting you, but did they say to you, you're coming in the shop, or did they say to you, you can be a brain surgeon, or I mean, did they have greater ambitions for you?
They had a great ambitions, as every parent wants their child to be... have a good career behind them. And it started when 17 I left school. I had my first interview at, in fact, it was Woodcock Travel on the Wicker. I failed the interview, and then 2 years later, I opened a business next door to them.
We're hearing the story shape up at What's Happened to Him. If you want to join us on BBC Radio Sheffield during the course of the morning, if you've any comments about him and his life, if he's telling lies, you can ring up and tell that. So if you want to join us, our number is 0114 268 2222. Yeah, we can talk to each other about his life or times. Or indeed, if you want to offer thoughts on the, I suppose, the roasty part of our morning, which is to do with fireworks and the kind of fireworks that he sells down there at the Wicker, then please do. You know the number, give us a ring. And we'll be talking about more of that after, well, just a little bit more of this. 28 minutes past 11. Now then, let's continue with Shay's story. Your family came over, your dad had some money and came over to live in Sheffield. Did he set up a business in the Wicker straight away? Is that what happened?
No, a few years later, Rony, he was a sales assistant at John Lewis's, and we tried to gain some experience in Sheffield about business. And it was, I think it was probably about 18 years ago that he decided to buy a post office on the Wicker.
Do you remember that kind of decision?
Oh, yes.
Did you go down there with him to look at it?
No. Again, I was quite young, not had much business, very little of business experience myself, so I couldn't really advise him, whether it was the right or wrong decision to make.
It turned out to be the right one, presumably, did it?
What makes you think that?
Well, you made a fortune between yourselves, your lot, and become fairly rich in the process. He drives a nice car, and you drive it for him sometimes as well.
Well, a Sea Reg car, yes, if you could say, it is a nice car. No, it's really, it's hard work, a lot of enthusiasm in business, and, you don't see returns within 5-10 years. It takes a long time, and he's... the business has been established, he has had business experience, and that was a good start.
Just go back to, we left you at school, retaking your GCEs, I suppose they were in those days, weren't
yes,
they?
Yes, you could say that.
Not having done that remarkable, I don't want to make a thing of this, done rather badly first time round. Silverdale's kind of rather proud of its academic stuff. Did they put pressure on you? Did they say, come on, you're letting our statistics down?
All the time, but we made up with it with the sports interest that I had. So if I wasn't bright in one aspect, the other aspect covered for it.
Did you hope to go on to further education at any stage?
No. It was just deciding, not knowing what to do about leaving school, working. I decided to stay another year, and a few friends did that, so we thought, there's a nice social element there as well.
Did you then go back into the family business?
Yes, from 17 years old, I left. I went to the post office, which my father had on the Wicker there. I ran that with him. Again, I had experience from school holidays, Saturdays, working with my family and my parents. And then on my 18th birthday, I opened a shop on the Wicker, another shop which called Wicker Grocers. Then my father, I ran that business for 2 years. My father opened expanded to another premises, which we're currently situated at now. And then due to ill health reasons, I had to close my shop down and amalgamate the two into one.
So how many businesses are there in the family, as it were, now?
It's just the one, the Wicker Post Office, but then I transferred Wicker Grocers into the Wicker Post Office. Mm. So it made sense because the expenses were halved, we were all together if we needed time off, plus, my father had an ill health problem then, which is okay now, but it made sense to amalgamate the two in one.
This closeness of a family, this willingness to work with your dad? I mean, it's not unknown among native-born white English people, but there is something kind of particularly, am I right, Asian about that way of going about things?
As I mentioned, the unity, you know, in Asian families, especially in Leicester, where there's a lot of Asian families, the only way that they've come up is the unity. I always remember at school, again, friends, you know, at 16, they left school, their money was their money, the parents was theirs. I used to remember a friend saying, oh, my father wants me to work for him, but I can get more paid, higher salary working elsewhere. You know, there's very little unity in that respect, and we've grown up together as one family, and, you know, we've gone without luxuries. I still get pocket money from Mum. You know, a week, there's your spending money, go out and spend it. She still controls the budget because, you know, the unity's there, but end of the road, it's all ours, there's nothing mine and yours. And fortunately, my sister, you know, got married, and there's the only one son. You know, problems do occur in families where there's, you know, several children and all part of the business because everyone, you know, wants their own sort of financial stake into the business. But my father's interest was for his son.
Have you ever lived anywhere else?
No, in Sheffield. We're all together as a family. And, you know, we've got a large enough house that accommodates us all. I got married 4 years ago. My wife's happy with the situation, and it's nice. We can all get on as a family.
Have you not, over those years, maybe when you were younger, felt, no, I'm a bit restricted here, stuck with this business in this northern town? There's a big world out there.
Yes, I think everyone feels sort of depressed about the work sometimes, but what choice do we have? Do you enjoy your job, Ronnie?
Oh, yeah, utterly, totally. And, yes, I do, and I get paid for it, and it's delightful. But I think, as I say, an 18 or a 19-year-old, I would have felt the desire. The desire to get away, and most people get away, of course, now, who do, by going off to some kind of education, don't they? They run off or set up homes separately or go off with somebody of their own peer group. So they move away from their family, however much they love them. They go and come back. You seem to have never had the chance to get away at all, by the sounds of it.
But again, the experience I've gained, I have a lot of freedom. All the decisions were down to myself regarding the business aspects, the social aspects. The freedom's there. I think you have problems if your parents are restricting you in your behaviour, in what you do. But I've always had the freedom to do what I like.
Always?
Always,
didn't
yes.
They restrict you about, say, going out at night and what time you came back? Or?
Well, as long as there was a legitimate reason, again, through my younger days, the table tennis side of me took me out several nights a week practicing, and long as they knew that, you know, I was playing table tennis and not roaming the streets. And it's the trust element. My parents trusted me, and I'd like to give them the trust back.
What about the business of girlfriends and all the rest of that? Did that cause any problems?
Yes, it did. My parents always would like me to marry into the family, and all the friends that I did have were all Western friends, and it did cause a problem in, you know, in my growing up days.
How did that solve itself eventually, Sean?
Well, we have a strong family in Leicester. My sister was married in Leicester and went to a wedding in Leicester. I got introduced to a nice girl there, and since then, 4 years we've been married.
A nation?
Yes, but again, very westernised. Mm. Very, very different. My friends tell me how lucky I am. I have the best of both worlds.
Did you, as an adolescent growing up, feel that was going to be a problem? I mean, is it, we're talking about arranged marriages, or is that a different?
There's a difference between arranged and introductory. It's like yourself, Ronnie. If you go out, if you were single,
I'm
your
still
friends.
Looking.
Oh, you're still looking. Well, I'll take you out one night, Ronnie. I'll introduce you to somebody. And it's introductions. That's all it is. Arranged. It does happen in the Muslim society, but. The Indians, the Asians, are getting more westernised than the westernised people now, and it's introductions.
And it happens inside the Hindu society as well, which is yours, isn't it?
Yes, right? That's correct.
So you would be introduced. Well, how westernised have you become in the process of it? You're this morning sitting in what looks to me like a fairly posh denim shirt, and you've got nothing extraordinary on at all. I don't think. Nothing around your neck or around... he's wearing a red poppy. That's interesting, yeah. But how westernised have you become? Are you Western?
I am westernised. I've been brought up here. All my friends have been Western. But I still have the cultural Indian Hinduism in myself, because my father, his mother is very religious, and there is a strong community in London where the religion still takes place, and from childhood I spent a lot of time with them, which is good, because there's a lot of love, there's a lot of caringness, and you know, I am westernised, but again, I do appreciate the culture that I was brought up in.
I've got to come back, because it may be just an obsession really, but if you're brought up in Sheffield in the last 30 years, and you say you've never had any trouble about the fact you are Asian or black or Paki or whatever people would call you, why is it that you've avoided it where every other person of different colour doesn't?
Well, Ronnie, I think I was well accepted in society. I mean, don't get me wrong, there has been occasions, and there still are, where we refuse to cash a gyro at the post office. We do get that abuse. But at school, growing up, yeah, I was well accepted in the society. A lot of good friends, and still have, still socialise, still go out each Friday with my friends.
Do you get called that in the street?
No, no, no. Just in the business aspects regarding, you know, the post office where you're refusing to cash gyros, no identification, and, you know, you'd still get that abuse, but again, it's the area that we are in.
Not the resentment about people who've well got a job or got a business from and people collecting their gyros presumably have, not a sort of... I'll tell you why I asked the question. Calick Mir, I don't know whether he'll thank me for mentioning it, who used to be my uppo on the roads in the morning on Radio Chef, who went around for about a couple of years in the car. I was really stunned early on by the sort of reaction that he got. He was very well used to it. He wasn't at all a self-pitying bloke. He was a nation. Marvellous bloke, great sense of humour, great laugh. I had a wonderful time with him. But I don't think there was ever a day we went out when there wasn't some sort of prejudice, which I could witness, that he was used to.
Mm-hmm. It's every person's different, Roni. Myself, again, I've said that I've been well accepted in the society. It's how you are as a person, how you treat other people.
It's not just because your skin's a different colour.
No,
people,
I mean,
don't like that.
No, well, you know, you don't get abused straight away. You know, you have to sort of attract that kind of attention. And I've always believed that you treat other people like you would like them to treat you. You respect people, and you get the respect back. But if you are sort of abusive, or if you show, you know, show off in the manner that you go about, you know, you will get racist remarks. But I've never had that problem at all.
Shea Puppet, who's on the radio on BBC Radio Sheffield. If you don't believe him now, you can always give us a ring, of course. He's never lived anywhere else but Sheffield. He's a relatively newly married man. He's also a new parent, aren't you? Because your Shalina is, what, 5 months?
That's correct, Ronnie. She's 5 months old.
Is she altering your life in any way?
All my friends say when you get married, your life changes, and then when you have a child, you really do change. But again, it's made it easier for us all living as a family. I still get my nights out because my wife's not on her own. The family are there. If we need babysitters, we've got babysitters all the time. It doesn't really restrict us that much, but I can appreciate if we were living, myself and my wife, on our own, then it would drastically change our life.
It is that family thing again. One of our callers ringing in this morning saying how admiring she was of the sense of family in what you're saying in all this, and the way in which you're not taking the opportunity to slag off your parents like some people would. But they must have their faults, your parents. What is it about them that you admire and don't admire?
All parents have their faults. I think the faults of my father, the conflicts of business interest, i.e. if we're purchasing fireworks, he'll want to order 30 cases, I'll want to order 20 cases. So we do have sort of business conflicts of interest there. And with my mother, she's a perfectionist. She always wants everything doing perfect.
What does she want you to be more perfect at than you are?
Hygiene, cleanliness, picking the plates up, like every mother does.
Ah, but you're 32, aren't you? This is a little old to be rollocked by your mum about these
but
things.
But I'm getting perfect, I'm getting perfect.
What about your dad? You say he'd order 30, you'd order 20. Is he more courageous than you, then? Is he more daring than you are?
He does, but then the blame comes after on me when wrong decisions are made.
OK, we're talking to Shea Poppet. Here's a surprise, Shea, in a moment for you. We're joined on the telephone now by Nelson from Shire Green. Nelson, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Tell us why you're joining us this morning, Nelson.
Two things. First of all, I know Shea. I have been in the shop several times. And I also come from Uganda.
Ah. And do you know something about the way in which fireworks form part of the Ugandan culture that we've not touched on yet?
Well, you'll never appreciate what the fireworks did for Uganda. In Uganda, we used to celebrate Diwali, and it was just wonderful to see the Afro and the Asian people getting together in the streets of Kampala, and the whole place would be sparkling with fireworks. No one is doing any harm to any other. And you can imagine that situation without the sophistication of services such as fire services, etc. People contained everything. You would never hear of a house burning. You would never hear of anyone being mugged. Everything was so orderly and properly done. I don't know whether Shay remembers anything of that.
It sounds to me like he doesn't remember anything of most of his life. You don't go back to Uganda at all, do you? You can't remember any of that.
No, no.
So it's up to you, Nelson. Describe what happens at Diwali.
At Diwali, there was also worship, but we also celebrated with food, gifts and presents. You meet people you never knew before. You would shake hands, you would greet people. It was a friendly occasion. It was not just the fireworks of, letting off fireworks.
And were the fireworks particularly spectacular?
They were particularly spectacular. A splendid view if you were there. And people still do that in Uganda. After Idi Amin left, we have tried to recapture some of the aspects that we lost during those 10 years of Idi Amin.
Nelson, thanks ever so much for joining us this morning. From what you've been saying, Shay, this morning, this is why your dad was in fireworks before you even came here, presumably, for that sort of event.
Yes, there are a lot of social events throughout the year that fireworks are used, Roni. We've got, again, I'll make the issue clear on selling fireworks all year round, is that under no circumstances do we sell bangers or air bombs or to any teenagers or youngsters throughout the year. I mean, I wouldn't like living next door to somebody who's setting bangers and air bombs off every day of the week, but there are sort of adults supervised, organised displays. For example, we've got the Chinese New Year. The Chinese population come to us to set fireworks off in the New Year. We've got, as Nelson mentioned, the Indian community for Christmas at Diwali. We've got, in fact, this Wednesday, 16th of November, there's the illumination switch on. We're sponsoring the firework display on top of the City Hall. Also, 14th of December, we've helped organise the fireworks for the Children's Festival, again on top of the City Hall. We've got 2 years ago, June, July, we supplied fireworks to the Sitwells family in Renishaw, the opening of the gardens, the Pavarotti evening. There's the American Independence Day, 4th of July. People come to buy fireworks for them.
No wonder the largest fireworks stock is in South Yorkshire. How big is the business these days?
We've got rockets large enough for NASA.
Yeah.
We're large enough to form a queue, and we've been proved by the Advertising Standards Council that we have the best selection of fireworks in South Yorkshire.
And the biggest in terms of the number of things you've got there?
The variety, yes.
What about the where they come from? Well, people talk about Chinese fireworks. Are they from China or what?
Yes, they're from Far East. There's fireworks from all over. Japan, their shells are very good. From all the places in the Far East.
There's been concern about the ones that come from the Far East. I mean, part of it's old prejudice that people want the old fireworks here that used to just go off with a little put, and that was it. There is prejudice involved, I'm convinced of that. But nevertheless, there's also been the suggestion about very powerful, potentially lethal fireworks from the Far East, the ones with the very short fuses and things. How careful are you not to sell those?
Well, all our fireworks are approved to Her Majesty's safety standard. They all carry labels that are correctly fused and correctly labelled to British standard. I must stress that if you do buy any fireworks, you must go to reputable stores, shops, companies who have to obtain a licence, and they buy fireworks that are all approved to British standard. They all must carry labels.
When I was at your shop this time, doing the same story as we do on November the 3rd or whatever, saying, come off it, you showed me lots of standard numbers on them. How do we know anyone inspects that or actually makes sure they don't just print the number regardless? How do we know they've been checked over properly? How do you know?
Well, if
does anyone come and inspect them?
No, but the trading standards can do so. What I do suggest is that, you know, we do buy from reputable companies. There are so many companies. Brock's International, which are division of Standard. There's the Cosmic Fireworks, which have voted the best selection national poll 1991-94. There's Black Cat Fireworks, who are major distributors in America. J&M Enterprises, Weatherby Sony Esco, Red Lantern, Astra, Ditton Prize in Shropshire. They all are reputable manufacturers and importers. And, you know, there is heavy, heavy fines. They do get fireworks that are passed, tested and passed, and we do buy from reputable companies.
We talked about when we were in your shop, there are, what, one, two, three, four, aren't there, of which four is, like,
the categories.
Nuclear.
Yes. Well, how the categorisation of fireworks is, Category 1 is indoor fireworks. Category 2 is garden fireworks with a 3-metre fallout distance and 5-metre spectators. There's Category 3, which is 20 metres fallout and 25 metres spectator distance. But all the issue is on Category 4 material. Now, Category 4 material is fireworks that are legally imported and not tested, or they fail to British standards.
Can you get them in England?
There has been controversy about them being in England. This is what the whole aspect is about, dangerous imported fireworks.
Can you get them in Sheffield, sir?
I've been selling fireworks for 15 years. I've never come across any illegally imported Category 4 fireworks, and I am a main distributor in Sheffield. So it's not easily available. But what it is that it's through import licences. The government abolished import licences in line with the EC, and at the moment there are no restrictions. And the government are trying to get restrictions, but people are bringing them into the country and selling them through back doors. So this is why I do stress that if you are buying fireworks,
you buy them
from a reputable company.
Is it possible that such things were being banged and set light to in Sheffield this November the 5th?
No. Again, I'm a distributor to other shopkeepers. I've not seen any, but I have spoken to a local manufacturer and importer, and they said it was due to some French bangers. Now, the government legislation says that the gunpowder element should be 1.4 grams in bangers, and there were 5 grams from these French bangers, which were, you know, very, very dangerous, and it was in the Manchester area of the country. So, you know, it's very difficult to...
The fear was that with this deregulation that's gone on, that this is a problem which is going to grow each November, or indeed through the rest of the year, because they're going to be available through the year, that this is only the beginnings of the problem that deregulation bring with it.
No, Aroni, every year we have problems. Every year there's always bad aspects about foreign fireworks, but it's up to the government to restrict import licences and make penalties very, very heavy.
How do you solve the problem of the fact that they're available, presumably, all year round, therefore they can, in the hot weather or whatever? You've got the storage problem, haven't you?
Yes,
what are you doing
with them? We've got special licences, a purpose-made unit, so the storage aspect is no problem at all, and we restrict the usage of fireworks during the year. It's just, as I mentioned, for organised displays. In fact, this year we've had 4 weddings and a funeral we've supplied to.
Have you? That's the calculation so far?
Yes. In fact, it was elderly gentleman who was born on November the 5th, and the family wanted a farewell display for him. So they bought some fireworks.
I think that's the most moving thing I've heard this morning. And they went off successfully, and that was all right?
Yes. They just wanted a farewell display.
The storage business does worry people, doesn't it, all the year round? Presumably in heat, they're actually likely to...
No, it's only if you've got direct sunlight to them. This is why all precautions must be taken in correct storage, and we do have special licences, purpose-built units, to store fireworks correctly and safely.
When you read on November the 6th, and indeed 7th, 8th and 9th of kids, who, and indeed adults, of course, killed, damaged, injured in firework accidents, what do you think about it? What do you think each year?
Well, we've very, very... very sympathetic on accidents occur. That's why we make sure the fireworks that we do sell are all approved to British standard. We also, for the larger displays, we make sure that we tell the organisers, the pyrotechnicians, how to use them safely, and all the fireworks are correctly labelled and tell you the instructions are clear. So if they have been passed by Her Majesty's safety standards, there should be no problems. But you do get one or two problems. In fact, I went to the trouble of this weekend phoning the hospitals just to get some statistics, and I phoned the Northern General Hospital. Over the total period of fireworks, the 3 weeks prior to the 5th, they had 6 incidents, 5 with children, 1 with adults, and they were all burns to the hands. Previous year, they had no incidents reported. Then I phoned the Royal Hallamshire Hospital. There were 3 minor, which the staff nurse said, there were 3 minor incidents. They were open, the accident an emergency department on the 4th and 5th, and they had three. One was related to lighting a bonfire, the other was related to malicious firework thrown at them, and then the third one was a girl looked up in the sky at a firework display and debris fell in her eye, which they said it was an excellent record, just three. So regards, you know, main injuries, you know, we are very, very sympathetic. But this is why I do stress that, you know, people who do buy fireworks go to reputable companies.
Shay, will you be selling fireworks next year on the Wicker?
Every year we do. Whether it's the Wicker or somewhere
else. Will you be there next year selling them?
I'll be there, yes.
Will you? Is that the limit and the summit of your ambitions, to run a post office on the Wicker in Sheffield selling fireworks?
Not necessarily a post office on the Wicker. Where we sell them doesn't matter, but I'd like to, you know, we've had so many organisations, pubs, clubs, they all come to us, we give them good service.
But my question really is that all you want to do with your life, sell fireworks and hand out gyros at a post office?
Well, I don't know about handing out gyros, but I have a keen interest in selling fireworks, and I will maintain that through my business career.
Don't you want to do something else, like, I don't know, play table tennis for Britain or whatever? No, what other ambitions, what other desires have you got?
Desires, it's the desires in life as...
None of this bull. What do you want to do? Do you want to become even richer than you are at the moment? Do you want
I mean, rich is a different aspect in everyone's terms. You should be happy, content in what you do. A bit of relaxation, not to work all hours, you know, God sends you. I believe this should be a happy medium in working, life at home. I'd like to sort of have time with my daughter, to see her grow up, and just generally be happy and content with life.
Are you surprised to find yourself at 32 with such a narrow, dim view of the rest of your life? It's almost like you're retiring already.
No, there's a lot of future years ahead of us. We'd like to expand in what we do, but the whole story is expand and consolidate, not to take sort of five steps forward before you can take one back. So within time, confidence grows, but again, after this busy period, all I want to do is rest.
Shay Poppard, who's been on the roast this morning, here's an intriguing conclusion to it. See what you make of this. Ada's rung us from Gleedless. She thinks she might have known Shay. This is what the note says here, when he was a little boy of about four or five. She did know a Ugandan family who lived off Staniforth Road.
No.
He's shaking his head. Well, that's bad luck you've said no. Listen, about 25 years ago, the children, says Ada, were called Mooney and Ashy. Wouldn't be you two. But those might only have been nicknames. But she goes on to say both children were very well behaved and friendly. So it couldn't have been you, could it?
Nope. I said I was mischievous at school.
It's been a pleasure, Shay Poppard, who's been our
pleasure.
Man on the radio this morning on the Sunday Roast.